This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, very interesting. Now, what happened? The Gemara tells us, if you look in Masechta Sanhedrin, let's see in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Gemara tells us that the Shevet of Shimon went to Zimri, and they said, look what's going on. By the way, they were judging people who, at that period of time, people who were serving the Avodah Zarah of Baal Pa'ar, which is a whole topic in and of itself. Plus, many Jews were living with non-Jews, and there was a major plague. And many Jews were being tried on capital crime. And the Shevet Shimon comes to Zimri ben Salu, and they say, Zimri, you're just going to keep your mouth closed while our Shevet is being wiped out? You got to do something. So what does he do? The Gemara tells us, he gathered 24,000 Jews. He gathers 24,000 Jews. And he goes to Cozbi. Again, Cozbi is the daughter of Balak. And he says to her, listen to me. Meaning, give in, let's go. He wants her to live with him. So she said, no. You're just a commoner. If I'm going to live with a Jew, I only go for the best. My father instructed me that if I'm going to be mezana with somebody, I'm not going to be mezana with any Joe Schmo. I have to do it with only the best. So Zimri said, I am the best. I'm a Nasi. And besides that, I'm even greater than Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is the third born son. I'm number two to my mom. So I'm even greater than Moshe Rabbeinu. So he grabs her by the sheitel, or whatever kind of hair she had, and he pulls her to Moshe, and he says to Moshe, Moshe, you see this woman? Am I allowed to live with her or not? So Moshe says, no. So he says, yeah? So then, if I can't live with this Gaya, what gave you the right, Moshe, to live with Yisro's daughter, who is a Gaya? Now, obviously, there's an obvious difference. Tzipporah, Moshe married Tzipporah before the Torah was given. So Tzipporah, there was no, it was before the Torah was given, it was permitted. Now the Torah was given, what? But still, first of all, it was out of Eretz Yisrael, and if need be, you're allowed to marry a non-Jew, it doesn't say Moshe kept the Torah, it says the Avos kept the Torah. According to some, only Abraham kept the Torah, not even Yitzchak and Yaakov.
What about Pinchas?
Yeah, Moshe ended up separating. Yeah?
Pinchas himself is not coming from his father.
Okay, we're going to see you. Good point. Okay. So then what happened? The halacha was forgotten. The halacha was forgotten. Which halacha was forgotten? The halacha that when a Jewish man lives with a non-Jewish woman publicly, a zealot could come and kill them. And people did not know what to do, and everyone was crying. Everyone was crying. Until Pinchas sees. What did Pinchas see? Pinchas saw the act, and he remembered the halacha. And he says, Moshe, you are my great uncle. By the way, Moshe Rabbeinu was Pinchas' great uncle. Why? Because who is Moshe's brother? Aaron. Who was Aaron's son? Elazar. Who is Elazar's son? Pinchas. So Pinchas says, Moshe, you're my great uncle. Didn't you teach me when you came down from Har Sinai? Habol Aramis, Kanon Pogimbo. If you see somebody living with a non-Jew, the zealots are allowed to kill. Now Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't know what to do. Is Moshe Rabbeinu allowed to say, yeah, so go kill? No. Because Ein Morin Kain, right? Ein Morin Kain. You can't tell someone what to do. He has to do it on his own. So Moshe is merames to him. He hints to him. He says like this, Kraina de Igrisa, the one who reads the letter, Iu lahavi parvanka. He needs to carry it out. Right? You know, it's like at home.
He's a smart guy.
You tell your wife it's a little messy. She says, the one who sees the mess has to clean up. Right? You ever hear that? So the one, Moshe says, the one who remembers the halacha, he has to carry it out. In other words, he was hinting to Moshe Rabbeinu. One second. He was hinting to Moshe that, what? You do the job. You do the dirty work. Mm. Now, one second.
He's a smart guy. Maybe the reason why he's going over to Moshe, maybe he is a Kanai.
Yeah.
So why is he going to Moshe? Because if he were to kill him, and the people were to blame him, he could always point the blame to him.
Okay, actually, the reason why he is asking Moshe is like this. Because the halacha is, in front of the Rebbe, you're not allowed to paskin a halacha. You're not allowed to act upon halacha. If there is a question of doubt, you need to leave the matter to the Rav, or the Rebbe. Somebody who paskins Hamayra Halacha Lefnei Rabbi, Chayiv Misa. Someone who paskins in front of the Rebbe is Chayiv Misa. So therefore, had Pinchas took the matter into his own hands and just killed Zimri, he would have been Chayiv Misa. He's the Rebbe of Klal Yisrael. Not only that, even Hamayra Halacha Shaloi Bifnei Rabbi, It's asur, and there's a question, maybe you're chayav misa or not. But therefore, Pinchas was not allowed to take the matter into his own hands, and therefore he sort of hints to Moshe, Moshe, were you not the one who taught us this halacha? Moshe said, yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, why was Pinchas so afraid of paskening in front of Moshe? Because who had died recently because of paskening in front of Moshe? Nadav and Avihu, the two sons of Aaron. Nadav and Avihu, right? Why Nadav and Avihu? Aaron had four sons, Elazar and Isamar, Nadav and Avihu. Nadav and Avihu died. Why? Because they offered on the Mizbeach Ish Zara, a foreign fire, that Moshe had not commanded them. And the Gemara in Erevin learns that the problem with what they did was that they paskened in front of Moshe. So Pinchas was aware of this. He avoids this. That's another pshat. Shmuel says, Pinchas did not ask Moshe Rabbeinu what to do. He just went and did it on his own. You know why? But what do you mean, aren't you obligated to ask the Rebbe? In this situation, you don't ask the Rebbe, you don't ask the Rav, you have to take the matter into your own hands. Why? B'makom chilul Hashem, if there's a desecration of God's name, we don't honor anybody. We don't honor the Rav, we don't honor the Rebbe, we don't honor the Rosh Hashiva, everybody's worthless to Hashem. If Hashem's honor is on the line, you got to take the matter into your own hands, like Shlomo HaMelech says, "Ein etza v'ein tfuna v'ein das neged Hashem."
What qualifies the makom chilul Hashem?
A public desecration of God's name. Like what?
Example,
it's hard
guy,
to know.
You killed the other guy, the Jewish guy? You think
you
killed.
Okay. Let me just say outside a few more episodes here. Yeah, what? Yeah, Pinchas has a din of a rodef to the point where Zimri would be allowed to kill Pinchas. And if Zimri would kill Pinchas, Zimri is innocent. Very interesting. And the question is, could the rest of the Jewish people kill Pinchas? Because Pinchas is a rodef. Shlomo Zalman has a tshuva about this. The din of rodef only applies regarding the one who you're being rodef. Normally, if somebody's running after a Jew to kill a Jew, anyone could kill him. In this case, only the one who's being chased could kill him.
So it's a miracle, basically. He had 10 miracles.
Oh, good. So the Gemara says a number of miracles happened to Pinchas. For example, number one, what did Pinchas do? Pinchas tried to sneak in into the action, right? How is he going to get, there are 24,000 Jews watching this public desecration going on. So he goes in like this. He says, I'm from Shevet Levi. You're from Shevet Shimon. You think Levim are any better than Shimon? If you could sin with her, I'm game. I'm in. I want to join. I want to do it. So they said, yeah, come on. Yeah, look, even this frumi wants to do it, they said. Even the frumi wants to do it. So they let him in. So what happened?
They were happy with
him. He was leaning on a cane. He walked in on a cane because he hid the sharp part of the sword in his sock. And he comes in. He puts the sharp part of the sword on. And a miracle happened. Listen to this miracle. The miracle was, Zimri, if he sees Pinchas about to kill him, what could Zimri do? He could stop living with her, and then Pinchas can't kill. Zimri couldn't come out. The Gemara says it's a miracle. He couldn't stop. Then another miracle was Zimri was about to say, "Henchmen, you know, bodyguards, come lynch him." He couldn't talk. Another thing, Pinchas took his sword. And listen to this. He was able to stick it b'makom the male organ of the man of Zimri and the female organ of Cosby, right through their reproductive organs, right through both of them, in that place.
It's a spear, yeah, not a sword.
A spear, a romach, correct. Another miracle is that they didn't fall off the sword, because Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to take them and display them in front of Klal Yisrael. Another miracle is he had to hold the sword up high, so Hashem had to raise the door so that Pinchas could leave. Okay. But then Pinchas finishes with his act, and the Jewish people start making fun of Pinchas. And they say like this, Pinchas, you know who this guy is? He might, his father is Elazar, the son of Aaron. But you know who his mother was? Elazar, the son of Aaron, married from the daughters of Yisro. Who is Yisro? He served every idol in the world. Well, how did he spend his early years? He would feed cows so they would get fat, and then bring them to Avodah Zarah. So look at this guy. He has no yichus. His grandfather was busy fattening cows for idols, and now he kills the prince of Shevet Shimon. So they started to mock Pinchas. So God says, you're going to mock him? I'm going to trace his lineage back to Aaron. That's why the pasuk says, Pinchas, ben Elazar, ben Aaron HaKohen. Let me ask you a question. If they're mocking him because his mother's father was an idolater, then what good is it to tell you, yeah, but his grandfather was a big tzaddik? They knew his grandfather was a big tzaddik. They knew exactly that Pinchas was the son of Elazar, the son of Aaron. They were making fun of the fact that his mother's father was an idolater. So what good is it that God is tracing his lineage? Don't worry, his grandfather was Aaron. They knew that, but they were still making fun of him. So what's going on over here? Now we're going to analyze very briefly a halachic issue, and that is, we know Pinchas' reward was, he was rewarded that he became a Kohen. What do you mean he became a Kohen? It's like the joke, you know, somebody comes to the rabbi, I want to be a Kohen. What do you mean, rabbi? What do you mean you want to be a Kohen? Either you are or you're not. He says, no, but I'm going to donate $10,000 to the shul, and I want to be a Kohen. So the rabbi's like, no, we can't do that. I'm going to donate tables, I'm going to donate $100,000 to the shul. The rabbi's thinking, he says, why do you want to be a Kohen? It's because my father's a Kohen and my grandfather's a Kohen. I also want to be a Kohen. Right? Well, if your grandfather's a Kohen, your father's a Kohen, then you're also a Kohen. So why did Hashem have to reward Pinchas to be a Kohen? His grandfather was Aaron, his father was Elazar. So then he's a Kohen. Says Rashi, no. Pinchas was not a Kohen. Why not? Because when Hashem told Moshe to anoint Aaron, he said, anoint Aaron and anoint Elazar. And then whoever is born after that will become a Kohen. But since Pinchas had already been born, Pinchas was never anointed, and therefore Kahuna was not given to Pinchas.
He was
from Shevet Levi, but even though his father was a Kohen, but he was not anointed, and he was not born from someone who was anointed, because his father was anointed after he was born, and therefore, before this episode, Pinchas was not a Kohen. And with this episode, Hashem rewarded him that he became a Kohen.
So what, Levi can be a Kohen?
if either you're born from Aaron or Elazar, or if you're anointed. Now here's the question.
Klal Yisrael can be anointed, or it should be from Levi?
I don't know. Oh, the only time it ever happened is someone from Shevet Levi. Could a regular Yisrael be a Kohen? It never happened. Never happened.
But interesting. Out of everybody, Pinchas should be the one who would be upset that he's not a Kohen. Before Korach, even. Because his father is a Kohen, but he is not.
I mean, he should have been the one complaining.
He should be the one who complained the most, but he didn't.
Okay, but according to Rashi, until this episode, Pinchas was not a Kohen. Why? His grandfather was anointed, his father was anointed, he was never anointed. How did he become a Kohen? How did he become a Kohen now? What was the process? There's a Medrash in Tehillim that says that normally a Kohen is anointed with Shemen HaMishcha, anointing oil. However, you know how Pinchas was anointed? Through the blood of Zimri. The blood of Zimri, by murdering Zimri, that blood inaugurated him as a Kohen.
It's a conflict. Kohen cannot be...
Okay.
It's a Tameh.
What's he doing by the blood?
You know, first kill him.
They were actually... One of the miracles was actually that they were still alive. So he's not going to be a Tameh because of the blood.
That's, right. Tosa says that actually Pinchas did not kill... He just made them a goses, and then they died later. But still, I'm going to bring up your show. Give me 2 minutes, okay? So according to Rashi, until this point, Pinchas was not a Kohen. He was rewarded with being a Kohen. He became a Kohen. Asks the Maral in the Gur Aryeh, what did Hashem have against Pinchas? They anointed Aaron. They anointed Elazar. Why didn't they anoint Pinchas at the time? So the Maral says two answers. Number one, in order to anoint someone, they have to be 13 years old. At the time that Aaron and Elazar were anointed, which was when the Mishkan was anointed, Pinchas was a katan. I think he was 7 years old. Since he was too young to be anointed, he didn't meet the standard. So then you'll say, why wasn't he anointed at his bar mitzvah? You know, after he leaned and they threw candies at him and everyone gave him a minchas chinuch and a mishnah brura, they should have anointed him. The answer is, there was only one time in history that the Kohanim were anointed. He missed it. Or, says the Gur Aryeh, something very interesting, the same way, who is better in a certain sense, a Jew or a convert? It's better to be born a Jew. Better to be born a Jew than to come into the Jewish people. So too, it's better to be born a Kohen than to become a Kohen. And therefore, the less people that need to be anointed, the better. Because the less people that need to be anointed, the more people that will be born into it. So if Hashem had to anoint Aaron, otherwise Aaron would never be a Kohen. Hashem had to anoint Elazar, otherwise Aaron's son would never be a Kohen. But since Elazar would then have future sons, so it would not be necessary then to anoint Pinchas. Because if we're going to anoint the grandchildren, then the grandchildren are not going to be born into it. They're going to be made into Kohanim. It's better to be born into it. Okay, this...
When you automatically gain the status of Kohen, still when you were Katan, like your parents are citizens of the United States, so you were born to them, so you become a citizen also.
But in Yadus, if a father and mother convert, the child is not a Jew. The child has to convert, right? So the father and mother, what?
He has to be under 8 years old, I thought.
He may have a choice after.
Something, yeah.
But it's not automatic to the children unless it's in utero. Very good. Ger katan matbil no sadas, but still kivin shegdilu yichal limchos. He could right? The Gemara Ksuba says kivin shegdilu yichal limchos. He could protest. Okay.
Anyway, Pinchas became Eliyahu Arnav, right?
Yes.
So when became Eliyahu Arnav, it actually didn't make that much difference, became Kohen or not, because he goes straight to heaven. And as I know, he never got married. He got married, Pinchas.
Yeah, Pinchas got married, yeah. In fact, there's a question in the poskim. Eishes Eliyahu, the wife of Eliyahu, he came, right? Eliyahu went up to Shemaim, now he came down. So now is his wife married to him or is he not married to him?
That's what the question.
It's a big question. Anyway, according to Rashi, Rabbi Osei, Pinchas was not a Kohen until now. He became a Kohen now. Not everyone agrees with Rashi. The opinion of Tosfos in number 5, the Moshav Zakenim, Tosfos says something very interesting. Pinchas was always a Kohen. If Hashem told Aaron, you and your descendants will be Kohanim, that means Pinchas would be a Kohen. But if Pinchas was a Kohen, then what's God saying? I'm rewarding you that you're becoming a Kohen. He was a Kohen. Says Tosfos, listen to this. And this is what Gabi brought up. If a Kohen kills someone, they can't duchen anymore. The hands that murdered, they can't be raised in duchening. And according to the Zohar, can't do avodah in the Beis HaMikdash anymore. The Mishnah Bechoros is mashma, also like the Zohar, that a Kohen who kills someone can't do avodah anymore. Tosfos Yom Tov infers from the Mishnah and Paskins, a Kohen who kills cannot do avodah. Rabbi Akiva Eiger maybe argues and says that a Kohen who kills could do avodah, but in any event, at least the Zohar definitely says, everyone agrees you can't duch it. And the Zohar says for sure you can't do avodah. So says Tosfos.
But Matatyahu and his sons,
They work on him. They weren't from Yehuda, right?
Yeah.
That's a question. If you kill in battle, but simply stated, a Kohen who murders, he becomes pasul l'kohuna. So Hashem says to Pinchas, even though you murdered Zimri and now you should lose the kohuna, I'm still giving you kohuna. Your reward is you don't become disqualified. You don't become disqualified.
Is there a way to get back in? Can they do tshuva?
What?
Can the Kohen was born in his life do tshuva?
I don't know. Okay? I don't know. So you hear what Tosfos is saying? It's not that Pinchas became a Kohen. It's Pinchas retained and remained a Kohen. Tosfos says, Rashi says he became a Kohen. Tosfos says he stayed a Kohen. But let's just think about this for a minute. Here Pinchas is, he murders someone. Normally when you murder someone, you're pasul for kahuna. You're not a Kohen anymore.
It's killing, not even murder. No?
Killing.
This is a mitzvah, you know?
And the reward is that he becomes a Kohen, according to Rashi, or he stays a Kohen. It doesn't make any sense. Normally when a Kohen murders or kills, he loses the kahuna. And here, Hashem says, I have a great reward for you. Now that you killed someone, I'm going to give you kahuna.
It's a mitzvah.
Rabbah. Yeah, but if anything, give him a ice cream cone with a cherry on top. A kahuna, that's the last thing you should give him.
No, but that's the biggest proof that it's a mitzvah.
No, but you see, think about it. King Melech David, all his war was a mitzvah war, and Mohammed Rishut. And he wasn't allowed to build a mitzvah because of that.
And he was Geth Tzadik.
A rabbi. They said if he didn't kill the Zimri and the woman, Hashem could destroy the entire Jewish nation.
Okay.
So actually what he did, he makes, you know, the Hashem was so upset at the moment to bring Hashem calm down. So that's what the reward, it goes to him actually compared to what is going, what could be happening.
Okay.
It wasn't that much.
Okay, it was definitely a tremendous mitzvah and we're indebted to Pinchas. But what I'm about to tell you, fasten your seatbelts. Says the Zohar, listen to this, that after Pinchas killed Zimri, they try to attack Pinchas.
And he
Shevet Shimon. And he became so frightened, Pinchas, that he died. Pinchas. After he killed Zimri.
Well, did this be derived from?
Zohar Kadosh. And we're going to see, he died. Says the Zohar, look at number 8. V'yinei b'zohar ha-kadosh yisa. T'be'ei sha'asa Pinchas ma'isa ha-kanois b'zimri. Parcha mimenu nishmasa. His soul departed. And his soul never came back. Someone else's soul came into him. Two people's soul came into him. Nadav and Avihu. Nadav and Avihu. Says Zohar. V'hichnis ba'waz ha-kadosh baruch hu nishmas. Nadav v'Avihu. Nadav and Avihu came into him. Says the Yalkut Ruveni. Yalkut Ruveni is an early collection of Midrashim. Listen to what he says. Learn to Parshas Achrimos. Turn to Parshas Achrimos. We have a lot to do. Parshas Achrimos, this is on page 636. Vayedaber Hashem Moshe. God spoke to Moshe Achrimos after the death. Shnei b'nei Aaron, the two sons of Aaron. Now, if you remember trigonometry, what's 1 plus 1? Anybody who could figure that out? What's 1 plus 1?
1.
2, right? 1 plus 1 is 2. So could somebody tell me, yeah, any accountants here?
1 plus 1 is negative 1.
So 1 second. It says, could somebody tell me, there's one word in this pasuk that's extra. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe, acharei Mos, shnei b'nei Aaron. After the death of the two sons of Aaron, which word is extra? 2. Two.
Right.
We know the sons, two sons of Aaron died. Nadav and Avihu. Why does it have to say the two sons of Aaron? Says the Yalkut Ruveni in number 9. They achrimos shnei. They died from being two, but they didn't go lost completely. Now they became one. How did they become one? Because they entered Pinchas as one. You hear what the pasuk is saying? The Yalkut Ruveni says achrimos shnei bnei Aaron. After the death of the two sons of Aaron.
Now,
they died from being two, and now they became one into Pinchas, yeah?
Well, Pinchas, original Neshama, went to heaven.
Yeah.
Nadav and Avihu going to his body.
Yeah.
They're getting rewarded because they met Esh Zahar.
One second. I'm only getting started.
Okay,
you hear what's happening? Nadav and Avihu, they died from being Acharemo Shnei B'nei Aaron. Says the Chassam Sofer. Look at the end of Parshas Metzora. This, what's the last pasuk in Mitzar 6:34? Ula ish asher yishkavim tmeya. There will be a man who lives with a tmeya. Acharei Mos shnei b'nei Aaron. And after the death of the two sons of Aaron, they became one in order to rectify that situation of ish asher yishkavim tmeya, the man who lived with a tmeya. That's what the Chassam Sofer says. There's a hemshech between the last pasuk of Mitzar and the first pasuk of Acharei Mos. You look in number 10. Ule'ish asher yishkav in Temeya. Then, with the mice of Zimri, acharimo shnei b'nei Aaron.
Now, what makes a woman Temeya? Midah or Shiguya?
Either one.
Rabbi, okay. Would you please explain what you said?
Yeah, I'm going to explain. First, let's just get the words. The words are, when after Pinchas killed Zimri, Pinchas died, according to the Zohar. The neshamos of Nadav and Avihu, which were two separate entities, both went into Pinchas and they became one. Now, we have to address a question. Normally, a body can only have one neshama at a time. So how could two neshamos go into him? Yesterday, I saw in the Shachal HaTorah, the husband and wife, they form one neshama. Each one is half.
So it's really
Nadav and Avihu never married. So the, each one was like chatzi, and therefore they came into one, into Pinchas.
No, so that doesn't make sense. The calculation doesn't make sense.
What?
Half and half, it's one. Then he needs to have only half because he needs to get married. So now he's going to be one and a half.
Huh?
When he's going to get married, he's going to be one and a half.
Oh, when they get married?
Yeah. Half and half, it's one. You're getting married.
Okay.
Another four, maybe.
I can't answer any questions. Okay, I'm giving a disclaimer that I'm not claiming to fully understand this. I'm just reporting what the Achronim say. Okay? So, again, Acharei Moshne, they died from being two, they became one.
So, Rabbi, who became as Eliyahu HaNavi?
One second. This.
He got married, Ken.
This, one second.
He got married.
By the way, so far, who says this? The Zohar, the Yalkut Ruveni, mystical sources. The Rambam also brings this down. The Rambam, who's known as the great rationalist, you know, if there's any type of mystical things that are even questionable, the Rambam sometimes we'll discard it. The Rambam wrote a kunshas called Ma'amar Tchias HaMesim. It's brought down in the Sefer Manas Kahuna, a parish on the Medrash. That, when Pinchas killed Zimri, his neshama departed, and the neshamas of Nadav and Avihu entered Pinchas. Rabbi Isai, why did Hashem have to make it happen like this? We're going to start to explain. Because since Pinchas's kahuna was tainted, why was it tainted? Because he killed someone. And if you kill someone, normally it renders you unfit for kahuna. He needed a new kahuna. So therefore, he had the kahuna of Nadav and Avihu, who received the original Mashiach and anointment from Moshe Rabbeinu. So basically what happened was, even if you say, no, they were punished that they died, but they didn't lose the kahuna. They were valid kohanim.
That's cool.
So therefore, says the Shach, says the Chassam Sofer, that because his kahuna was invalid, because he killed someone. So what did Hashem do? Hashem made his neshama depart, and now he attained the neshama of Nadav and Avihu, who they were the original kohanim. They had the original Mashiach from Moshe Rabbeinu. How? Wait, one second. Let me get this out.
Why do you need to have the neshama of Nadav and Avihu? Just put one. And then you can answer Gabi's question. Only one.
Okay, one second. Why did Pinchas get the neshama of Nadav and Avihu? Because what was the chet of Nadav and Avihu? Who remembers? They were more halacha lefnei rabo. They paskin in front of Moshe Rabbeinu. So what does Pinchas do? Before Pinchas does anything to Zimri, he goes and he asks Moshe Rabbeinu, did you not teach us the halacha that Habol Aram is kano and pogimbo? So he rectifies their sin of more halacha lefnei rabo. Or according to the other opinion in the Gemara, it was permitted for Shmuel, it was permitted for Pinchas to take the matter into his own hands because it was a chil Hashem. So to counteract, to rectify that which Nadav and Avihu improperly took the matter of halach into their own hands, Pinchas rectified it, but this is a situation where it's permitted to bring the halach into your own hands, and he rectified the sin of Nadav and Avihu. Now, very interesting, the Imre Shammai brings down that in order for the Mizbeach to be inaugurated, he's alive today. He's somebody who's, I think he lives in Bar Park. He says like this. He brings down from the Sefer Ramasayim Tzofim that how was the Beis HaMikdash, how was the Mishkan inaugurated? What was the first Karban? The first Karban was actually the death of Nadav and Avihu. It says about their death, Bikrovaya Kadesh. Through their death, Hashem became sanctified. Okay, that's how the Mishkan was sanctified. Similarly, the Mishkan became sanctified through Pinchas, when Pinchas was basically Moser Nefesh to kill Zimri. That's why, what is Parshas Pinchas about? The Karbanos. Because Pinchas giving himself over was really the inauguration of the Karbanos. It was like he was makriv himself to the Ribbono Shel Olam by giving up his life to sacrifice himself to kill Zimri. Says the Chidah, let me get this out, says the Chidah something very interesting. The Chidah brings down from, this is in number 17. The Chidah brings down from the Rama, Resh Mem Ayin, that stands for Rabbi Menachem Azariah. Rabbi Menachem Azariah was one of the Italian Mekubalim. Now, all of Klal Yisrael is eternally indebted to Rabbi Menachem Azariah. Because you know what Rabbi Menachem Azariah did? In the times of the Beis Yosef, right, where did the Beis Yosef live? Where did Maran Bet Yosef live? Tzfat. What did he write? He wrote Shulchan Aruch, Bet Yosef, right? Kesef Mishnah. There's a problem. There are no printing presses in Israel. Where are the printing presses? Venice. The Beis Yosef entrusted Rav Menachem Azariah in Italy to oversee the publication of Kesef Mishnah and other of his Sfarim. He sent him the folios and he paid him to take charge of printing the Shulchan Aruch and the Beis Yosef. So this Rav Menachem Azariah, the Beis Yosef entrusted him. Okay, very interesting. Why is it that Pinchas never assumed any position? You would think after Yeshua passes away, the next leader of the Jewish people should be Pinchas. Do we find Pinchas was ever a shofet? No. Why not? Because his job was to rectify the sin of Nadav and Avihu, who are mora halacha lefnei rabo. And to rectify that, Pinchas never assumed responsibility of paskening halacha for Klal Yisrael. That's why Pinchas never took responsibility. Now listen to this. Who was, right? You mentioned before, who was Pinchas?
Eliyahu.
Who was Eliyahu's Talmud?
Elisha.
When Eliyahu's about to die, what does Elisha say to Eliyahu?
How do I know I'm going to take your place? He said, if you're going to see my carrier
okay.
to the heaven, you're going to stay alive.
What did Elisha ask for? Please give over to me your greatness. V'hi na pishnayim beruchacha. Give me two portions of your spirit. Why two portions? Because Pinchas had in him two kochos, Nadav and Avihu. What word does he say? V'yiyu na pishnayim beruchacha. Na, Nadav, Avihu. V'na. Says Marsham, V'hi na pishnayim beruchacha. He says, V'hi na nun aleph. Please give me pishnayim. Na nun nadav aleph avihu. That's what he was asking for. Give me both chalakim. Says the Medrash, Yomru na yirei Hashem kili olam chasto. Mi amar zeh? Pinchas. Yomru na yirei Hashem, that was said by Pinchas. Kili olam chasto. The words, Yomru na yirei Hashem. They say, please, those who fear God, na. Though you know who said that? Pinchas. Because Pinchas had in him the powers of Nadav and the powers of Avihu. Okay? We'll end with this. There's a Gemara in Masech Debrachos that says that there was a man by the name of Reb Zera. Reb Zera became ill. He was cured. He was healed. Okay? And Rabbi Avo was making a party for Reb Zera's recovery. So he invites Reb Zera to the party. Maybe they had Carlos and Gabby's, I don't know. And he tells Reb Zera, I want you to bench. I want you to be mavarech al hamotzi. Botzea, be botzea. So Reb Zera says, no. What do you mean? Balabayis is botzea. You're the head of the household. You need to make hamotzi. Fine. So Rabbi Avo made hamotzi. Then it came time to bench. And Rabbi Avo says to Reb Zera, could you please bench? So he said, no. The botzea, the one who made hamotzi, has to bench. So Rabbi Avo said, no, I hold oreach mevarech. I hold the guest benches. The Aderes was a Reb Eliyahu David Rabinowitz Teumim. He was the father-in-law of Rabbi Avram Yitzchak HaKohen Cook, Rav Cook's father-in-law. The Aderes was Rav Cook's father-in-law. Rabinowitz. Teumim is the whole ma'aseh, so why he's called Teumim? Fine. So he asked the question, why did Rabbi Avo tell him to bench? He said, I want you to bench because I hold that you're the guest. I have a different reason why Rabbi Avo should have told Reb Zera to bench. Because Reb Zera is a kohen, and a kohen is supposed to bench. So why is Rabbi Avo trying to come up with a different excuse to give the benching to Rabbi Zera? That, look, you're the guest, so you need to bench. Reb Zera was a kohen. Said the Aderes, you know why he didn't tell him to bench? Because he's a kohen. Because the Gemara in Megillah says that one Purim, Rabbah invited Reb Zera over to the Simchas Purim, and Rabbah did what to Reb Zera? He killed Reb Zera. And then he felt bad after he sobered up. He felt bad. He brought him back to life. But when a Kohen dies, he loses his kahuna.
It's
He loses his kahuna. So therefore, he couldn't tell him to bench because he's a kohen, because Rabbi shechted Reb Zeira. So therefore, he lost his kahuna, and therefore, he had to come up with another reason. He had another reason to tell him to bench. In fact, the Ramban says beferosh on the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, "How do I know there's tchias amesim in the Torah?" Because the Gemara says, because we know that when Mashiach comes, we're going to give truma to Aaron. So the Ramban says, what do you mean we're going to have to give truma to Aaron? But Aaron died. And once the Kohen dies, he's going to lose his kahuna. No, don't worry, he's going to get anointed again. So you see clearly, when a Kohen dies, he loses his kahuna. Says the Paradis Yosef, now everything fits like a glove. Hey, you ready for this? I'll tell you, like Tosa says, that Pinchas was a Kohen the whole time. The only problem is his kahuna was invalid. Why? Because he killed someone. So what does Hashem do? Hashem took away his neshama. He got scared. His neshama left. He's not a kohen anymore because he lose the kahuna. So what does Hashem do? He puts in the neshama of Nadav and Avihu. He has new kahuna. Now that he has new kahuna, his old kahuna is not needed anymore. That kahuna was pasul. Now he has new kahuna. And that's why now he's awarded with kahuna. But we ask, what do you mean he's awarded with kahuna? He was a kohen the whole time. Yeah, he was a kohen the whole time. But a kohen who dies, he loses his kahuna. Plus, that kahuna was invalid. Therefore, Hashem gave him the kahuna of Nadav and Avihu. Coming back to where we started from.
But Nadav and Avihu died also.
Good question. I had that question also. I don't have an answer to that. So, Not everybody agrees that when a Kohen dies, you lose the kahuna. So we could just say, like we were saying before, that the first kahuna was no good because he killed someone, and he got a new kahuna. And it's a debate. The Aderis wrote this letter to Reb Chaim Berlin. He disagreed with this whole premise. But if you want to know an answer, you could look in Shach al HaTorah number 14 at the end. What he's asking?
Yeah.
He's asking that if you lose your kahuna when you die, then Nadav Avihu's kahuna also should not have been good.
Why?
Because they also died.
They died.
Two is more than one.
Okay.
He lost this. The main question, when Pinchas kills Zimri, Hashem should reward him. So if he died, what was the reward for him? Death?
He lost the kahuna because he killed someone. Because he died.
Yeah, but there's also, we said that when a kohen dies, and if he comes back, he's not a kohen anymore. All right. One more thing.
You mean over there?
One more thing. One more thing. The Medrash started off like this. Pinchas ben Elazar. Okay, I just want to tell you one more thing the Zohar says. According to this, you read. Remember we asked, they started making fun of Pinchas. And they said, your grandfather, Yisrael, would fatten cows to Avodah Zarah. So we asked, very nice, the Torah says, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. But that's from his father's side he's good, his mother's side he's no good. So the Zohar says, no, you're not reading the Pasuk correctly. Pinchas ben Elazar, Pinchas, who used to be the son of Elazar, now he's ben Aaron HaKohen. Now he's the son of Aaron, because now he's Nadav and Avihu. So you're worried about the mother? That was Pinchas' mother. But Nadav and Avihu's mother was not the daughter of Yisrael. So it's not that we're saying, ignore the mother, look at the father. What we're saying is, you got the wrong guy. Pinchas ben Elazar, now he's ben Aaron HaKohen. Now ben Aaron HaKohen, Nadav and Avihu, their father was Aaron. It was only Elazar who married the daughter of Yisrael. Nadav and Avihu didn't marry the daughter of Yisrael. So therefore comes the Medrash. The Medrash says, Pinchas ben Elazar, what did the Medrash say? Bedinhu sheyitos charei. He deserves his reward. Remember, so we asked, what do you mean he deserves his reward? As opposed to what? As opposed to this. The Gemara in Kedushin tells us, schara b'haya amaleka. You don't get rewarded in this world. Your reward is in the world to come. Whatever you get in this world is just peros. It's just, you know, sidekicks, benefits. You know, you get health insurance in this world, but the salary is in the world to come. Okay? Why? Because there's a principle. Ein schiris mishtalemes ela lebesayif. The same way the salary is when you finish the job, the reward is when you finish the job, when you die. So what happened to Pinchas? Pinchas, his soul left. So he was going to get his reward. So what's Hashem going to do? Bring him back to life? That's not fair. Now he doesn't get his reward anymore. So therefore the Medrash says, Bedinu sheyitos charei. The din should be, he should get his reward. Why should he lose out just because he's coming back? In other words, really, a person deserves their reward when they die. That's when you get your reward. Whatever you get in this world is just not a reward, it's just chesed, it's just a side benefit. The law is you get your reward in the end. What happened to Pinchas? When he killed Zimri, his soul departed. So he was about to get his reward. What's going to happen? But now that Hashem brings him back to this world, he's going to lose out. So therefore the matter says, Bedin hu sheyito schari. The law is, the din is, he has to get it. Because why should he lose out? He was right there. His soul departed. He's about to get the Olam Haba. So therefore the Rabbeinu Shlom says he's not going to lose out by coming into this world. And therefore he's going to get his reward anyway. So according to this, we'll end with this. Says the Rambam, you know why Pinchas became Eliyahu? Because Eliyahu lives forever. Why? But I thought everyone has to die. Exactly. Since Pinchas already died, so he doesn't have to do it again. That's why he became Eliyahu, and now he lives forever. He was ready Yotze, the Gzera of mankind. All mankind has to die. So why was Pinchas rewarded that he became Eliyahu to live? Because he already died. His soul departed. Wow. His soul departed when...
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.